Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. It is now or never, and I hope you had a good weekend. I hope you're getting engaged with your state legislature and understanding what the heck they're doing to pile some more liberty upon you and peel back the agenda of the globalists, because there are definitely not enough constitutionalists in office. They're fighting conservatives who are, because in the red states, they're fighting what we would call possibly conservatives or Republicans, because you definitely have these different degrees. I mean, but bottom line, the real separation is whether they're constitutional or not. You know, a conservative, somebody that's just going to go in there and support your Second Amendment rights, that only means that they've turned their back on the rest of the Constitution, just like you. If you're a myopic person that says we only care about one little thing in the Constitution, and that is the reality. Get anybody to say, oh, no, we're not myopic. You know, we support the Constitution. We just think that, and when they do this, they say this is the most important part of the Constitution, then they have failed. They have failed us all. The most important part of the Constitution, folks, is Article 7. And why is that? Because Article 7 tells the world that what this document is, it's a compact, and who the parties to it are the states. It's that simple. Article 7 lays out exactly what the Constitution is and who has the oversight over it and the control over it. Wouldn't that be far more important to know than this, you know, all of these little issues and rights and so forth? Because now we know who's supposed to be holding these folks accountable. Now we know that if they start playing with any of our rights, we know where to go and say, stop them, demand full compliance. It's that simple. So as you know, we've got this new video on our YouTube channel, ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We're going to give you some pauses today while we let you ponder, cogitate, ruminate, whatever word you use for that pause. But I'm not sure if you've subscribed. We had a little increase, and I've heard back from the channel manager that, you know, hey, that's good. You said something, and we got a bump up. This guy's watching this like a hawk. He really wants to see this thing take off and become successful. Again, we're not even monetizing this, but we know that as something really becomes viral, then we actually know we're having an impact. You know, one of the ways you know you're reaching people is by getting people to actually start using those videos. And actually, there's no reason why we don't hit on the counter in this next year a couple thousand on these county commissioner videos. Why? Because there's a couple thousand counties, and every county commissioner needs to see that video. Every county commissioner, because this is where we have just an open and honest dialogue with the county commissioners to say, look, you know, we're patriots. We want to save the Constitution. We want to save our liberties. And we need you to do this. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to help you so that you don't have to come across in articulating this argument and trying to articulate the academics to this. And just make it very simple that they get all of the critical information. We've got two parts to it. We've got a third part coming up. And so we'll dive into when we'll be giving you that third part. But if you subscribe, you will know as soon as it hits. So this way, I mean, if there's anything you subscribe to, I mean, everybody subscribes to something. But if there is one thing you subscribe to, make it this. And it's not because it's about feeling good. It's about getting the good news out. You know, do you know there's another word for the good news? I believe it, that's what they refer to as the gospel, as the good news. So, as we are trying, and I'm not trying to equate this to anything of the spiritual nature, but I do understand the fundamentals of how this affects the spiritual nature of America. Liberty affects the spiritual nature of America. And we're going to get into today, we're going to get into the scale of liberty. And I'm going to share with you an old document I haven't shared in a long time. It's probably been, 2 years ago since I've actually read through this. And I think that this helps lay out what the scale of liberty and why understanding the scale of liberty is so important. But before we do that, I just wanted to let you know, just by today, starting the week out, over the weekend, I have already received a few points for Feedback Friday. I just want to focus on some content today, Monday through Thursday this week. And so Friday, we will get into Feedback Friday. I will still have these monologues, but bottom line, if you've got anything you want to add, you want to pile on, give us a call, 425-270-5416, or send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And what we're looking for, and as a matter of fact, I've got to tell you, I am so thankful for getting out and being able to start doing presentations, because by doing these presentations, it's just going through the simplicity and the basics of all of this, that as we, kind of go through that, because technically, I would say probably one third of my presentation with South Dakota was a little bit of review. And it's important because, when you get fire hosed by somebody, and you kind of cover a lot of information, that stuff just kind of, you may remember some highlights, but there's too much that you don't retain. So we have to go back over and re-emphasize very specific and very important points. And so in the last presentation, we did that. And one of the things I emphasized was the two things your county needs. Your county needs to start clinging and establishing what is constitutional compliance. So you need a committee or a chair or somebody getting and becoming the academic leader on what is constitutional compliance. Now, again, reasonable people equally informed seldom disagree. The problem is that middle part, being equally informed. So you're going to have counties that'll have maybe a little divergence because they won't read the ratification base. They won't go through those. You'll have some people that are going to be starting with the Federalist Papers. Some people will actually just read the Constitution. I met a guy that created a curriculum based on just, going through the Constitution, what each of those lines meant literally. And in so doing, he missed so many different parts that he didn't even realize. He couldn't see the forest through the trees. And I'm here to tell you, folks, we need to hear exactly how the framers described each of those lines when they went through the ratification debates. So that's the power that the ratification debates will provide in providing clarity and providing hardcore terms and definitions for the compact. So as we go forward and we started laying this out, I had a gentleman come back and say, you know what? I want to be involved in the petitions. And so as you create this constitutional compliance committee or this constitutional compliance chair, this person that's going to be the profound academic for you and your county. And you know what? You're not alone. You got questions, I'm happy to help. And there's other people that we can start sharing. And what we want to do, and that's one of the reasons why we want to have this phone call within the next month or so that when you start actually asking questions, the best way to answer your question is, well, what did you find in the ratification debates? Because when people start asking me, I go, well, look at June 6th, Virginia. Look on this day in Massachusetts. Because instead of me answering your question, I'm going to point you to what the ratification debates say. And as I do that, then guess what? Well, if you want your answer, you're going to have to read them. And that it's kind of like you've probably had ministers or you know, people that understood the Bible. They go, oh, well, go read John or what have you. This is how we teach. You know, it's like the child that wants to know and ask their parents how to spell every word. What a good parent would do is they would hand them a dictionary. And then they, here you go, sound it out and try to figure it out. And if you can't, I'll help a little. You know, I'll help you get grounded. I'll help you, you know, make sure you're going down the right path. And that's how a child learns to actually start, you know, spelling and being able to articulate or actually enunciate the words and so forth. Anyway, the chair of the petitions is going to be very, I'll say, could be the same person, or it could be somebody else that, you know, is your number two person in understanding the Constitution. Because writing petitions is something that somebody really needs to have a good handle on exactly what the Constitution says. So when you lay out your argument, you're laying it out as to what the Constitution says, what they're doing, and how that's not in alliance with the Constitution and how it's violating the Constitution and what they need to do to fix it. Remember, these are basically legal arguments. You know, when you look at any case in court, what is a case in court? When somebody takes a case to court, that's them petitioning the court. Well, you don't have to spend a dollar to petition your government. You have to spend money to petition the court system because our court system has been completely hijacked by and has been turned into a money-making machine. It's no longer common law. And, you know, our whole society has been all, you know, converted over what's in it for me. I mean, everybody, you got to compensate me for this. You got to, you know, where is the moral obligation and the personal integrity and duty of doing the right thing? Anyway, with that, we're going into a break, and we will be right back in just a minute, and we're going to kind of wrap up this beginning dialogue, and we're going to get into the scale of liberty as well as Billy Graham's call to commitment. We'll be right back after this. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so before we get into the scale of liberty, I happened to do some driving this weekend, and I actually had to suffer through several different little conservative radio shows. Now, these over the weekend, you don't hear, you know, they usually don't rebroadcast, you know, the big hitters like Hannity, and thank heavens, but here's the thing. It's not much different. I mean, they all do the exact same thing. Why is it that so many of these conservative entertainers get deeply involved in the unconstitutional politics and unconstitutional laws? As a matter of fact, you know, they're sitting here talking about defining climate change with Davos and Gore or, you know, whatever the issue is. And they're sitting here trying to say, you know, how, you know, there's this actual legal spin on this. You know, what the parliamentary procedure, what they're supposed to be doing when the whole thing is unconstitutional. You know, it's like, well, the Environmental Protection Agency is supposed to be doing this and not that. Are you kidding me? They're not supposed to be doing anything because they're not supposed to exist. The Environmental Protection Agency is a usurpation of power. Now, if the states want to do it, then the states need to do it and the states pay for it. The states pay for it out of their own pocket. They don't use communism or socialism in saying we're taking money from everybody and we're going to inflict this upon you. Same thing with energy policies. Every time they talk about the federal government and energy policies, what are the two sides of this? Oh, well, you know, the leftist, you know, way of controlling energy and the liberal, or I should say the conservative side of controlling energy. Well, who has the better approach, the conservative side or the leftist side? Neither. They shouldn't be controlling energy. And so this is why we keep on slapping ourselves back and forth into these extremes of allowing, because the leftists take over. Now they have full control over how they want to control it because they have control. And then the conservatives, oh, now that we've got control, they should have, they have no constitutional standing at all for any of these things. Environment, education, labor, folks. The question stands, why do so many of these conservative, and all of them, you find me one that is actually focused on compliance of the Constitution. You find me one that actually saying, look, we're at the precipice. We either take away all of this control that they have, and we can do this, or they're pushing us into the arms of communism. And we will be tossed to and fro in a level of tyranny that, you know, we will rue the day, folks. We will rue the day when we actually get tossed off that ledge, that the cliff. The Constitution gives us the full guide of what they're supposed to do. Now, it's up to us to decide what, you know, we want them to do. But I want to tell you something. It was never the intent of the framers. As a matter of fact, Madison stated that, you know, the design of the Constitution was really for external purposes so that the federal government would basically communicate the desires of the union. That's the big difference. Not the desires of the big cheese like Joe, right? It's the desires of the union. We're not supposed to have monarchs, but that's exactly what happened. We ended up getting presidents, and the parties absolutely supported this. And why did they support this? Well, it's because the globalist agenda is what is pushing this, and that's what they're doing, is they're pushing the globalist agenda. The party is one of the primary components. It is the primary driving factors behind this fact that we live under this monarchical democracy party form of government. And, you know, it has nothing. It is not resemblance. It does not resemble one bit whatsoever. I guess I'm really tongue-tied today. I'm a little frustrated. It does not resemble what the framers intended. The states were supposed to have all of the controls over the domestic matters. And so the problem is the states have allowed the federal government to do things that they should never have done. And as we really think about it, and this is what I get into, and I'm actually submitting this theory that what we need to do, and so I'm going to give you a theory, and I'm going to give you a theory today, and I'm going to give you a theory tomorrow. But the theory tomorrow is on a spiritual major. And so those of you who have that spiritual, you know, outlet, and that, you know, that I'll just say foundation in your life, I think you might appreciate this. It has nothing to do with Bible. It is really a GR-ism. And so it's something where I'll get into it tomorrow. For news at 11. Anyway, so when we look at our government, and when we look at what they're supposed to be doing, the federal government was not supposed to have the monopoly on everything. And when we really look at it, the Constitution really actually allows us to have a separate polity, a separate general government, to allow the union to articulate. See, Congress was supposed to do that, and the Senate was supposed to do that. And the 17th Amendment has proven that the Senate can't do that, because the Senate is very, very limited. Now, what I believe should happen is I believe that the state should actually create a domestic general government. This is a theory. This is a GR-ism, that we don't change the taxation. The federal government should basically maintain those powers delegated so that they can do what they really need to do, because I'm telling you, the toughest thing for a nation to do and go through is fighting war and having, you know, foreign policies and so forth. Now, eventually, if we actually get rid of foreign governments, if we get rid of, it's kind of the big picture here, but when you look at, and some of you might appreciate this, when you look at, you know, a outward-reaching, interfacing government, that government is essential because we have foreign engagement. The Constitution actually allows for all states, and you've heard me say this because I'm a huge advocate for bringing foreign nations into the United States through the territorial admission process, to where, you know, we don't give them citizenship. They don't even become inhabitants, and they can't, you know, travel to and fro. Until they get to certain stages of adopting English, the legal system, and so forth, so that once they've adopted to a certain threshold, then those people who can speak English and so forth, they can get like a green card or the ability to, you know, come to the United States and so forth. But because not like Puerto Rico. If you look at Puerto Rico, that's the proof of why we just can't allow a territory to actually become an internal and integral part of the United States. I mean, Puerto Rico has way too many privileges, way too many. They should be either kicked to the curb, or they should actually do the full plunge and become a state and take full responsibility for themselves and getting off of the teat of the federal government. The whole point is to bring territories in and have a schedule of bringing them in as a state, not this meandering process. Now, when we look at the islands, I'm just going to go down this rabbit hole. When we look at the islands, we need to look at that, the islands of the Pacific and the islands of the Atlantic, as separate states. Same thing with possibly the Indian Ocean, the two large bodies of water of where, you know, are the islands of the world, so that they become counties, kind of, so to speak, in their state government, if they choose to become a part of the United States. If they don't, then that's fine. But eventually, if you really see, if the world becomes a part of this union, kind of like the UN, where everybody becomes a state in the United States, then let me ask you this. Why would we need the existing federal government? Why? Well, okay, so we need to have that domestic control, because now every state is a state in the union. It's about domestic control. Well, we would really be able to scale back. I mean, seriously, scale back the federal government, because we wouldn't be fighting wars. We wouldn't have, you know, foreign policies. everybody would have open and free trade amongst each other. And the only reason the federal government would exist, and there's no reason why this a separate domestic general government couldn't take care of that. I think Madison understood, you know, that there was so much within this Constitution that it would need to evolve. And he talked about the interior states and how they would have disparate interests and so forth, and how this necessity of establishing strategies for the Union so that eventually the Union would be able to start dictating what was best for it. Now, over time, you know, as we allow all of the states, if we allowed all the states of the Union, you just got to remember that it would take a long time. And in some situations, I don't see in this world where there are going to be certain states that would ever become a part of the United States, nor could we allow them, like Islamic states. There's no way an Islamic state could actually become a part of the United States. Can't. Because they cannot subjugate themselves to anything other than Allah and the Quran and so forth. That's where they've subjugated themselves. That is their potent. That is their sovereign. Where we, you know, we have the Constitution as a rule of law, not the Quran. And we, you know, give everybody the freedom to choose who they worship and so forth. So anyway, you know, I'm just trying to give you this GRism. That when you start really peeling back and understanding the potential of this U.S. Constitution, wow! I mean, the one thing that we're kind of shy on is this domestic strategies and so forth. And we've let this federal government get so far out of control, and they're doing this because of communism. We'll be right back.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I really have gone down a rat hole here, and this monologue has gotten a little out of control. But I want you to start thinking about where would we be if the Union actually, if the federal government did not have, if we actually had Republic Review, and we scaled back the federal government so they were no longer playing this massive manipulator of the world and actually just completely dictated to the world, look, if you want to be engaged in trade with us, that's fine. But if you have problems, you're on your own. If you believe you want to have liberty, and this is how, just like with the Liberty Bell, we need to proclaim liberty throughout the land and throughout the world. And so we're not going to get involved in your wars. We will protect, we'll do everything we can to protect ourselves. But you, and so I, there's this prevailing thought that we need to create alliances and so forth. And that's never paid off. All that's done is it's actually put us in positions where we have to fight wars. And so, you know, just think about this. Just think about what the opportunity would be, especially if, you know, there are these countries and people that say, you know what, that life, that quality of life is far superior than anything else we're dealing with, because they're dealing with communism. And we can actually see this today. As a matter of fact, this is why I was going into how we everything we're getting from our even our conservative entertainers, they're basically telling you that we need a conservative communist control because they're not rejecting this unconstitutional government. They're saying we have to have a conservative control over health care. Are you kidding me? Remember? Because health care was an abomination. Now we have to have a conservative control over it. We have to have a conservative control over education. Are you kidding me? No, that is absolutely unacceptable. And so the reason we're going down this path is because they've manipulated us. And this is all about warfare. And our federal government has been so good at playing warfare around the world for well over a century and a half at least, if not more. Then what are we going to do? What do we have to do? Because they are, and when we start realizing that we're in the midst of a broad spectrum warfare right here in the United States, then that's precisely where we can place context to it. And we can start realizing we have to start doing something about this. So as we look at all these constitutional people and what they, you know, that they're preaching, these conservative entertainers that aren't focused, they don't understand the Constitution. They have no idea how damaging and the harm that they're creating. What's going on has nothing to do with what must happen to stop the tyranny that is being inflicted upon us. And we're in this situation because there's a complete lack of faith, a complete lack of faith in the Constitution and the simplicity of what constitutional compliance would do for us. Okay, so placing this into even further context, let me just, because I've said this before, but I want to repeat this. The application to the application of money to government is the same thing as grassroots movements. Grassroots movements are the struggle of moving government in one way or the other. And so when we look at the conservative grassroots movements, it's towards conservative control. And when we look at the leftist grassroots movements, we're looking at the, you know, the leftist, you know, progressive evils, even darker controls, more controls. And as they continue to win, well, then the conservatives have to have, the, you know, then we'll control that. We'll control that better. You know, when they take control, when the progressives create the Department of Babysitting, they take control of the family and try to decimate the family, and then we snap back and we go, well, we want the conservatives. They're going to make a conservative control of the family. They have never, never once relinquished any tyranny. Not once, folks. So when we look at the grassroots movements, there's really money going down two ways. And they're all the same. It's the same thing as the Uniparty. When you look at the conservative side of control and the leftist side of control, it's all about control. The opposite of that is about constitutional compliance. This is the irony. This is where we have to start becoming very clear and concise to individuals and to businesses that what they need to get involved with has nothing to do with the politics of controlling government and the movements of government. We have to restore the rule of law. Good people are followers of the law. Bad people don't understand the law and twist the law. So is a conservative person a bad person or a good person? If a good person follows the rule of law, then my folks and my friends, I'm here to tell you that many of these conservatives are bad people. But they may be bad people because of their ignorance. And I think that most of the people are ignorant. I think they're reasonable, and I think that they're just ill-informed. So this takes me back to reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. Now, let me get to the scale of liberty. And we'll go through this in detail. We'll probably have to cover if we can get to it today, then we will cover the Billy Graham call to commitment. When we look at the two sides of the scale of liberty, just imagine you've got this line, this bar that goes, you know, as far as the eye can see, from, you know, from the left side to the right side. And to the left, we will, you know, use the color white, pure, you know, just the purest brilliance of light, no absence of light. And so as we start moving from one side of the spectrum to the other side of the spectrum, by the way, is all black, absence of light, no light whatsoever. So what you have is a gradual and incremental declination or declining of light, the emission of light, to where you have blackness. So in other words, what I've done in my book is I use the shades of gray. And so you can actually see, and what you'll actually see is the 16 primary bands of gray, I believe. There are technically, if I understand correctly, if I remember correctly, because I was taught this, I think there are 256, in the 80s, they quoted there were 256 shades of gray. Now, that's kind of odd because 256 kind of falls under the spectrum of bytes, two bytes, or the binary system, right? Anyway, so the eye can only distinguish when you look at the different spectrums, the eye can really only distinguish, the 16 spectrums when you're looking at it, or 16 parts of that spectrum of gray. However, when we actually look at it, like in, movies and so forth, it doesn't look like, the blockiness. We actually can see the shades and the conversions and so forth. So I'm not convinced that what I was taught in the 80s and the science of shades of gray and black and white and so forth, that was, a hardcore correction. I think it may be 64 shades or something like that. But anyway, nevertheless, when you're looking at the scale of liberty, the white, the pure part of liberty, that side is a side that is absent of any compulsion, absence of any form of, you have to do things. In other words, a person that lives in that side of liberty, they believe that everybody must choose for themselves. They must, they have a responsibility to learn, and whatever they do, whatever their choices are, they will be responsible for those choices, and they will be accountable. So responsible being, if you did something good, then, okay, you deserve the accolades. Thank you very much. You deserve your paycheck. Those types of things. That's your responsibility and your accountability. Responsibility and accountability go together. Your free agency or your liberty to choose, your freedom to choose and make your own decisions. A person that lives in that world does not compel anyone to do anything. Now, when we look at, parenting and children and so forth, how many of us do it because I told you so? And the reason we do that, folks, is because, we're lazy. We don't want to take the time to help teach the child. And sometimes we don't want to teach the child, some of the, the ills of doing this or doing that, because maybe we see that they may be predisposed. What have you? It doesn't matter. Because when we think about what God did in creating us and putting us here in this world, he gave us unabashed freedom to be able to do whatever we chose to do, right? That's pure liberty. To do with what we want with our bodies, to do with what we want with each other, and so forth. I mean, if you kind of understand, pure liberty means that you have to choose, and boy, is God going to hold us accountable? Will we be responsible for our actions? Absolutely. But because we don't see that in every situation, what we do and so forth, that doesn't actually hit us each time, you know, that there's this, you know, it will be right back.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so just because, now in this world, we have laws. God has laws. And we're, you know, created in his image, and we were taught by him to have laws. And so, and we followed laws, and he gave us higher laws and so forth. And we have evolved in our societal laws, and man has created laws for himself. And a republican form of government is one based on the rule of law. So we have laws, and we create rules, policies, regulations, statutes, whatever you want to call them. We have these guiding things in our life. Now, as we look at the far side of the scale of liberty, the far end of the spectrum of pure black, no freedom. Now, in Satan's world, that is the epitome of a, you know, life, the order of life, where nobody chooses for themselves, where you do exactly what you're supposed to do, and you do it willingly, and everybody does their part, and that's it. There's no consequences. There is no responsibility. There's no reward. As a matter of fact, there's no punishment and reward. Now, in the world we've been given, there's both sweet and bitter, right? I mean, you know, there's the suffering from the consequences of bad decisions. So technically, that is life. What God gave us is the epitome of life. What Satan wants is a lie, because there can be no perfect world in his world. In other words, can you actually have rewards, consequences, and those types of things? Can you actually have can that be life? Is that truly life? No, that's pure control. Zero control, pure control. You choose. They're your decisions, and then you live with them. You live with the rewards. In other words, you enjoy the sweet, and you enjoy the bitter by your own hands. And so as we kind of look at the scale, as we start migrating from one side to the other, we start accepting, well, we need to have these levels of control. We need to have these levels of control. Now, as we move forward in an enlightened society, we start creating laws, or we start actually banishing things. Now, do we banish things on our own, or do we banish things for others? In other words, there's the puritanistic look that we know better and that we need to do without that. And then we create laws that say you can't do that anymore, or that's illegal in this state. Technically, that is a form of compulsion. I mean, it's one thing that you choose not to do it. It's another thing that you say it can't be done. Now, that right there is conservative control. And that slides you down that little scale towards black. And the more conservative controls, the more puritanistic, the more blue laws that you create, the more we slide into that. What we have to teach is a very simple word. The simple word that brings you to the light is discipline. Discipline is a means to an end. And it is a means to a good end, because self-discipline is far better than societal discipline. Now, societal discipline, if it is in unison and society chooses to stop gambling, if we shed the light on all of the evils of the world, we could see how much money is being wasted and how much money is going into the hands of very evil people. And this money is doing and being used for the service of bad, evil things. Now, when we see people doing good things, what do they do with their money? Good people that, don't want to do evil things, if they have money, they do good things with it. They help others. They contribute. They are positive influencers in society. We have so few of those, folks. We have so few of those. We have more that are working their gradual way down that black side of the scale. Oh, well, we need to control this and we need to control that. And they actually become power brokers. This is how government changes from a public servant into a prince and into a monarch. One that, uses their discretion to determine what is best. This is one of the reasons why, I do not want to get involved in politics other than full compliance of the Constitution. When people come to me and ask me what is best, a lot of times I'll balk, but most of the times if I'm working with somebody, I know you. I will tell you what I think, and I'll tell you, what may be best, but you have to make those choices yourself. I can tell you, and I can say that, what you need to do in your organization here, you've got to have a constitutional compliance, person that's helping everybody learn and understand the Constitution and how we can comply to it more and more and more. Then you have to have somebody that's writing petitions, calling out government, holding government accountable. This is very critical. Remember, accountability, that's a part of liberty. If we don't have accountability, then we don't have liberty. So you have this accountability side. Imagine, as I say this, and if you really look back at what I said, this accountability, as well as this understanding of the truth and light, this constitutional compliance, both of these need to be a part of government. Why is it the government is completely turned away and actually started driving down agendas to believe our lies, do what we tell you to do, believe these lies, we have control? That's because we have slid so far down that black scale. So when we start looking at using First Amendment petitions, then we're actually holding government accountable, and that we're calling them out on their responsibility to support the Constitution. So the thing you have to do then, once you've got this petition manager, once you're doing a petition, you need to take that petition, you need to take the petitions we have and start taking them to the people. You need to get in front of people and get people to start understanding. They will sign these things. I'm telling you, when it comes down to the truth, and a person says, you will know the merit of a person, you will know the measure of a man and a woman, if they choose to hold the federal government accountable over that invasion on our southern border, over the treaty of the UN. We have two petitions that, clearly delineate they have no authority to do this. If somebody can prove that they have the authority within the Constitution, that it has been delegated, then okay. But the fact of the matter is, and we base this criteria on the fact that our government cannot do anything unless that role, responsibility, power, or property has been delegated to them. They have no ability to assume any role, responsibility, power, or property among, you know, for themselves, that they must get the authority from the states. If that's the case, then they are doing things like creating treaties with the UN that they have no authority. And the things that they're supposed to do, like stopping that invasion, is clearly a violation. So these are two great petitions that one proves what they're supposed to do. The Constitution tells them what they have to do. And the Constitution does not authorize them to do something. Now you can teach people that the Constitution actually, you know, tells government what they're supposed to do, and that's it, and what they can do. And then if they can't, if it's not listed, they can't do it. So both of those will teach them some very valuable understanding, a very valuable level of understanding of the Constitution. So folks, getting out and getting people to start signing these things helps you start building your organization. Getting these things in front of county commissioners will actually create your footing. This is where you finally hold your county commissioners and your state legislatures accountable. It's almost like the heavens will open. What has happened, and the reason I'm saying this, is this past weekend, when there's an article. And this article is available on our Take Action page. There's a small team of guys. One thing they haven't done is they haven't gone out to get petitions. They haven't got, I should say, they've got a petition, but they did not get any signatures from the people. They live in Wyoming. The weather is abominable in Wyoming this time of year. So how do you stand out in front of a grocery store? How do you get people? I know they've got it tough. But I've told them, I said, you need to go somewhere, and you need, whether it's at a church, whether it is at the Republican Central Committee, you need to start getting signatures. And while you're getting signatures, you ask people if they will please take the time to help in holding government accountable. It's not about this one petition. It is about everything they need to be accountable for. We want to hold them accountable for everything so that everybody realizes what they're supposed to be doing and why they're not doing it, so that when it comes up for re-election, we can get rid of these guys, and then we'll get people that will understand what needs to be done. That's how we do it. It is a paradigm shift, but it has to be done collectively. It has to be done as a collective conscience of the community where everybody agrees. And I'm telling you, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong by going out and really making the efforts that you're getting people to sign these things and helping people understand. You know, I don't care if that person is a Democrat. There's a good likelihood that they still believe in the law. As I've said time and time again, when they do business studies, even today, employees want to see, you know, their fellow employees and their leadership held accountable to the rules and policies that the company has. Society wants people to be held accountable. I think that's innate within us. We all know that we should be held accountable. We do get held accountable. Everybody should be held accountable. Folks, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we'll be back with the rest of this, you know, scale of liberty, call to commitment, in our next episode. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.